knew a very successful farmer. He says, you know, we actually drove our beet truck to church. This happened in Colorado, where we have sugar beets. But he said, we actually drove our beet truck to church because we didn't want to show our new car off and get criticized at church. We didn't want the church people to know we had that car. I thought, you know, why should this jealousy and envy and strife go on? And then there's another extreme situation where a group in the East, you can drive a Cadillac, but it has to, as soon as you get it, you need to take black paint and paint over the chrome. And they're called black bumper people. Well, now, some of you folks never heard this stuff. The reason we're mentioning...
We're really old.
Well, we've traveled a lot, but the reason we're mentioning some of these extremes is to get you to thinking here, you know, what traditions are going on here in my church that really hurt my walk with the Lord, or they certainly don't contribute to my relationship with Jesus
Christ. That's right, they don't contribute.
Now, if they don't contribute, then it's something that you're having to give some of your attention to that you shouldn't have to be thinking about, and you shouldn't have to be concerned about. We should be concerned about, is that person saved? This brand new person comes into the church, and the pastor says, turn to you know, some scripture, Ezekiel 37 or something. They don't know whether Ezekiel's in the Bible or not. No, let alone know whether it's in the Old Testament or New Testament. Why can't we go over and help that person that's brand new? I mean, we say we want to win people to the Lord, but you see, it's a race. And if you're an experienced Christian, you know where Ezekiel is. You can probably turn to it in 30 seconds. But this other guy, he can't even find the index in his Bible. He doesn't know whether it's the front or the back of the book. And if he doesn't have a Bible, why don't we slide over there and share it? In other words, what I'm saying here is, now let's don't make it a horse race here to see who gets the scripture first. And then the pastor starts reading, and this poor, you know, new guy who has a desire to know God because there's a void in his life, he comes in and we don't help him.
Mm-hmm.
And we look around and say, boy, that guy's really stupid. We shouldn't be saying that.
No.
We should be over there saying, could I help you here?
Yes, that's right.
We should welcome them in
them.
Every respect. The same thing with the hymnal. You know, if they don't have a hymnal, we've got to get them one.
Well,
if
I
you
remember,
have to give up yours, give it up.
I remember one evening walking into a church here in Denver, and it was a church that we came to hear an evangelist, and they did not only have no overhead, they didn't have any kind of leaflet for us that had the choruses on there. And as they were all singing,
You mean by an overhead projector with all the
overhead
words?
Overhead projector, yes. So that you could at least read the words on a projected on the wall, or have a leaflet with the choruses on there. And that's what we do on Tuesday nights. We pass out a chorus sheet so that everybody has opportunity to sing those songs or at least say them with us. And so here we stood in an audience of about 50 people there, and we were probably one of the only visitors. And I felt very uncomfortable because I didn't know their choruses, and they did not give us opportunity to sing with them because there was nothing, there was no helps. And I believe any time we make somebody feel uncomfortable, and Darren, I truly believe when we meet people and I say, oh, church, I don't go to church anymore, they're all hypocrites there. I truly believe they, you know, these people are right. A lot of the people are hypocrites. And they, when a person walks in from the streets, do they feel comfortable sitting down, and are people friendly around them? Some of them say they do, and yet they feel very uncomfortable.
You know, also in that service, I remember that I am going to share this, and Barbara's just cringing when I share it, but a man came in and sat out behind me, and I turned around, and I hadn't seen him for 4 or 5 years, and I've been raised in church. I know I act in church, and very quietly I turned around and said, hi, John, how you doing? And an usher came over and said to me, if you fellas have something to talk about, you need to get out in the parking lot. Well, now, I think that was an example of some tradition there that really didn't fit in that service at all, and I felt somewhat embarrassed, and I said, God, what's this all about? Well, you know, I didn't really know, but we quieted down. We didn't talk anymore, but we felt very uncomfortable, and we also felt very, very unwelcomed. And we walked in. Nobody talked to us.
Did you go back?
Of course. Are you kidding me? And here was a really strange thing. We went early. We tried to always not be there at the last minute, but we were there probably 10, 12 minutes early. And nobody came. Nobody talked to us. Nobody welcomed us. Nobody said, what's your name? My name is. In other words, nobody introduced themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did that church want to grow?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
Was it growing?
No.
Probably not. Did people coming in that are brand new feel welcome? I don't think so. Well, folks, let me tell you, that goes on far too often in our churches. On one hand, we say, Sinners, come on in here. We want our church to grow. But do we act like it? Or are we so caught up in our familiar little groups, traditions?
Mm-hmm. I think we're very exclusive. For the most part, we're very
wrong.
Exclusive.
And I think, well, we get up next to a guy and they say, man, he stinks like a bar. Good. He ought to smell like a bar. Come in here and get saved.
That's right.
Or that guy, I mean, his eyes are crossed. He must be zoned out on drugs. Wonderful. Get him saved. Love on that guy. Hey, he's finding rejection all over the place.
I remember a beautiful story told to us by the Tabernacle Choir in, was it New York City? New York Tabernacle Choir. And the pastor...
Brooklyn Tabernacle.
Brooklyn, that's right. The Brooklyn Tabernacle.
City,
oh, yes, yes, I've got to.
Brooklyn Tabernacle.
Sorry about that. And the pastor just welcomed all these street people. He kind of like David Wilkerson, get right in the middle of Times Square and have all these people saved. And this guy came down, and he smelled so bad. It's like the pastor said, I almost had to hold my nose to hug him. But he had been living in a doghouse in the backyard. I mean, this man had literally been living in a doghouse.
Yeah, but let me tell you the first part of that story. This little wife and three little kids. That just blesses me, that story.
Well, you tell it. You're the
I'll
one.
I'll try. But they'd been crying out, and the church had been agreeing with her for her husband's salvation. And he was a drug addict.
Yes.
And he'd hit the skids. I mean, they took the video camera and went, and he said, I used to sleep in this doghouse doing drugs. And when he came in, he smelled so bad.
Mm-hmm.
But the pastor welcomed him.
That's right. He got
saved. Go ahead,
saved.
You tell the rest
he
of
got
the
saved.
Story.
See, we don't have to get cleaned up before we go, before
right.
we're born again. Jesus cleans us up afterwards. And this man came in smelling awful, and he was born again, gloriously born again. And he said, I'd like you to meet somebody. And this guy walks up. Absolutely gorgeous guy with a three-piece suit,
right,
and he
right.
said, this is my friend, and he's in the Brooklyn Tab Choir. I mean, he is a sharp guy. Jesus does that. Jesus is in this world to do that for our friends and our loved ones.
But you know, Barbara, he can't do that if our traditions hold people out.
That's right.
And
they
you know,
us.
It grieves me when I've seen people come in that really wanted to know about Jesus. But, you know, in some churches, they find out this guy's been divorced and their traditions in that church. Well, you can't come in here. You committed the unpardonable sin. We'd feel better if you just leave. Now, they may not say that in so many words, but it's not long until they shun that person. Why would you go back? There's more rejection there is, and there's no love. Why would that person go back? Oh, well, you've got a tattoo. You must have been a prostitute. Why, you're gay. Well, we don't want you in here. Hey, when do we preach the message of Jesus Christ and stop knocking people in the head with our traditions?
Mm-hmm.
We got to quit that.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And you
we
know, God
do.
Has a better answer for those sinners, and it's, come on, I want to help you, and Jesus wants to set you free.
That's right. Jesus knew that the Pharisees loved their titles and their accolades and getting credit. And in Matthew 23 here, Jesus states emphatically, Darren, not to put any earthly man on the level of God himself. We are not to call anyone rabbi or father or reverend or to consider ourselves above our brothers in the beloved. And I truly believe that is being taken advantage of in this day and age. Now, there are gifts and giftings, and we'll talk about that, where we have different gifts. But I believe that Jesus as the head is going to make all of us work together.
I believe that, Barbara, and I think what we're saying is, let's don't get stuck on the titles. Let's don't get stuck on the positions. I believe the gifts of the Holy Spirit are here for us. And when we see people get healed and delivered and saved, and then we let God transform them from the inside out, you know, if we get the Word of God into people, the Word of God will change them.
Oh, that's
and
right.
I've never seen traditions change anybody for the better. Never seen that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't care what church you're in. And God's just not going on to that. And people aren't going to, they're not going to grow, as we say, really, truly grow in the Lord if they're saying, well, pardon me, how can I dress? Where do I stand? What do I do? When do I show up? When do I stand up? When do I sit down? And in some churches, that's the biggest thing on their mind. They come in brand new and they say, everybody's kneeling. Do I kneel? Well, I better, or I'm going to be the only one sitting up here. Well, do I stand or do I cross myself? What do I do? And, you know, we need to make people very comfortable and not with our traditions. We just really got to go for it. So we're going to give you some more of this message here in just a little bit, so stick with us.